desert and the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening or good morning, as the case may be. Welcome to another edition of the best in live overnight talk radio. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Tahitian and Hawaiian Islands in the west, eastward to the Caribbean, the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north all the way to Sab Country at the pole, and worldwide on the internet. Thank you, broadcast.com. Soon with new stuff to come. I'll tell you, listen, everybody is slamming my website right now, downloading these new Majestic 12 documents, the MJ-12 documents. If everybody, they are there, but they're in the PDF format, and if everybody will hold off a little bit, we're going to try to get documents up in a different form, which will make it much easier for you to download. I understand the urgency to get them, and if you really need them, they are there, but this is really taking up a lot of bandwidth. People are downloading like crazy. And now I'm going to add to the problem, because I have perfected the night vision cam, and I just took a night vision shot that I am so proud of. I am so proud of about 10 minutes ago. I took, you know, we have a very clear desert sky here, of course, and you can see a lot of stars. And I got a shot that is framed by a cloud. That's right, a cloud at night. You can see the cloud moving in. And so I left it up there. I took it, I think it was 21:49:44 Pacific time. And it's on my webcam right now. So go take a look at that. It is so neat. You can see a deep field of stars. And you can see this cloud beginning to move in. And this is in utter absolute darkness out here in the desert. So it's pretty cool. Take a look at that. I'm so proud of that shot. I took that about 10 minutes ago. If you can get to my website, because so many people are downloading the Majestic 12 documents that was the subject of the show yesterday, I'm going to try and get Whitley Strieber on. Whitley, if you're out there, perhaps Thursday night, Friday morning. Whitley, what do you think about Thursday night, Friday morning? Because we've got to talk more about these MJ-12 documents. I've got a full set of documents on the way to me tonight. What's coming up is going to blow you away, because it blew me away. Now, I always take my friend Richard C. Hoagland, one-time advisor to NASA, advisor to Walter Cronkite, Engstrom Science Award winner. I take Richard with a little grain of salt. I've always taken Richard, he's my good friend, with a little grain of salt. But I'm telling you folks, this man is on to something really, really big. Remember the deal with Arizona, December 6th, December 7th? Well, there have been... I'm a believer in coincidence to some degree. But Richard, days and days ahead of time, actually, more like a month, I guess, ahead of time, said, watch Central Arizona. Then days ahead of time said, no, watch specifically Turret Mountain. And the damnedest thing has happened on Turret Mountain, and credit where credit is due, he hit that one right on the noggin. Just wait till you hear the case laid out. Now, what I would suggest you do is don't go to my website, because my website can't handle it. Go to Richard's website. That would be www.enterprisemission.com. And click on the, I think it's the second item down. It's an animated weather photograph of the Phoenix weather radar during the time this massive, incredibly unusual storm was smashing Central Arizona. And if you look very carefully at that, you will see a ring in the center photograph. It's a moving GIF photograph. You'll see very heavy storm cells. I mean, you'll see red there. And then you'll see a ring that forms precisely around Turret Mountain. I mean, that's exactly where Turret Mountain is. Now, that's too coincidental to even have a discussion about, in my opinion. It precisely forms around Turret Mountain at the time of this ELF signal. That's the weather radar. That's the proof of this strange occurrence. And then we have this incredibly strong ELF signal that blasts at that precise moment. Now, even for me, this becomes way beyond even the possibility of a coincidence. So in a moment, Richard will tell you all about it, and we'll go beyond that. We have got an eyewitness to what occurred at Turret Mountain, because he was on a four-wheel drive vehicle on top of Turret Mountain at that exact moment in Arizona. And I've got to admit, this whole situation is getting in my opinion, way beyond weird. So that's coming up next hour. Dr. Albert Taylor, who now has, by the way, the Los Angeles number one bestseller entitled Soul Traveler. So a lot to do. It's going to be a fascinating night. The Wreath 3-3 for just $48. The International Star Registry will name a star for anyone on your holiday gift list. They'll send a beautiful full-color parchment certificate of record, sky chart so they can locate the star, and a booklet on astronomy. The new star name is recorded in the registry's book and entered at the U.S. Copyright Office. The International Star Registry has named over 500,000 stars as gifts this year. Send the gift that is truly out of this world. For more information, call 800-282-3333. That's 1-800-282-3333. Well, all right. Look, I am not frequently moved to see the same things that Richard sees. Sometimes he's my good friend, but sometimes he will see jackhammers and things in places where I don't necessarily see them. But today totally blew me away. Richard, are you there?
I am here.
I must say, Richard,
I have to pinch myself.
This is amazing. I mean, it's just, I wish I could use bad language, you know? It's just something or another amazing.
It's called Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
The Yellow Brick Road.
All right. You know what they woke the astronauts up the other morning with?
What?
Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Oh, my God.
We are no longer in Kansas, Garden.
Yeah, I'll say. Let's talk about Arizona for a second. Now, for a long time, you were predicting an occurrence, a landing maybe, not necessarily, some occurrence in Arizona on the 6th or the 7th. I mean, this was coming for quite a while. And then the 6th and the 7th.
It started October 29th.
Yeah, that's
actually
right.
Actually, for us, it started in June. We had this heads up from our intelligence sources, but we didn't tell anybody until the so-called door postings and the show that you and I did on the Friday the 29th.
Pull door, yeah. That's right. All right, so time passes. The 6th and the 7th come. And there is some extremely unusual weather. I was talking to Keith Rowland, who lives in Arizona, as you well know, in Mesa. You call him Scotty.
Yes.
And I said, hey, Keith, when was the last time this happened in central Arizona? He said, I don't remember it ever happening. Now, that doesn't mean in all of history it hasn't happened, but a massive, massive storm. I mean, you can see on the Phoenix weather radar, which everybody, you should go up right now to www.enterprisemission.com. Click on the second item down, and you'll see a moving file, GIF file. It'll move for you. It'll actually animate for you if you've got a decent browser. And what you will see is a storm passing across central Arizona. Now, as it passes across central Arizona, look very carefully toward the very center. And you will see in the center part of the movement this absolute circle, complete circle, forming around the precise location where Turret Mountain is, which is, of course, what Richard talked about all the time, Turret Mountain. Where something would occur. And I'll be damned if there's not this circle directly around Turret Mountain. Go see it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. See it for yourself. Where'd you get this from?
This is from the Weather Service radar, the UNISIS radar, which is for the continental United States. It's available on the web at the various weather services. The various TV stations use it, you know, except for CNN, which does their own. So, I mean, it's standard weather radar, and it's NEXRAD radar, and it's put together basically in Arizona from the Phoenix Sky Harbor Weather Center. And what's so bizarre is not only is there a beautiful ring which flashes on and off as these frames are taken one per hour.
With a hole right in the middle. Kind of like, I would compare it actually to the eye of a hurricane.
Or a bullseye.
A bullseye. Well, or a bullseye if you want to.
Centered over Turret Mountain.
Right over Turret Mountain.
Now, the first thing you said to me this morning when I said you got to go to the web and take a look at this is you said, how can radar form a ring? And I said, Art, it doesn't. What radar does is it bounces off things. Airplanes, people, you know, atmospheric droplets, moisture.
Sure.
And snow.
Sure.
Snow is made of crystalline flakes.
Sure.
Which are, guess what? Tetrahedral. They're actually hexagonal. And no two snowflakes are alike. We've all heard that, all right?
We have heard that.
There are trillions of snowflakes in this storm right over central Arizona, snowing on Phoenix. And at about 8:07 on Sunday evening, Greenwich time, which was Sunday afternoon, Phoenix time,
right,
when the center of the state is socked in, pow, you have this beautiful, perfect bullseye ring of snow, all organized, all polarized, all ordered into a stunning circular geometry just for one snapshot, one one-hour snapshot. And simultaneous, because of your friend Charlie Plyler, we get an electromagnetic pulse.
A real whiz-banger that went right off the charts.
And when you correlate them, which is what, after I quit the show last night, I was not happy with where we left the story because I knew there was data here. So I sit up at about 5 o'clock working the various correlations, and I went to a guy named Kent Stedman. I want to give Kent Stedman, who runs an incredibly interesting site called the Orbit Site, credit, because he turned me on to this radar stuff weeks and weeks ago. And I went to his site, and I followed the trail back to the original source data, pulled it out, did the comparisons, you know, talked to Mike Barris, sent him emails, sent some over to Peter, what's his name? Peter Gersten. My mind is going here. And the correlations make it a lock. There is no doubt that simultaneous with the most remarkable weather anomaly on radar, and we'll get into how it works in a minute, there's this EMP, there's this electromagnetic
pulse
that pulses for several minutes. I mean, this is like the first of a series of waves. And if we had finer radar, in other words, if we go back now to the source data in Arizona, in Phoenix, which I'm going to have the guys do tomorrow, we know that they only post once every hour on the National NEXRAD maps.
Right.
There's scans. I mean, this radar is turning at the rate of every maybe 30 seconds or something like that.
Right.
So there's a lot of more data that we don't have, so we can see how this ring forms, peaks, and dissipates.
All right.
And how long it takes to dissipate, because the physics of what you're seeing is remarkable and very hyperdimensional. And that brings in HARP, because my colleague Mike Barra, who's done an incredible job in the last several weeks in posting and co-writing these things we've been putting on our website, went to the HARP site and found that during all of Plyler's weird things happening across the weekend and this major storm, this once in an 8-9 year storm, the last time they had snow like this down there, Art, it turned out, was 8 years ago, and it was 0.4 inch.
Nothing like this.
Yeah. Anyway, HARP was very, very busy.
HARP was honking, huh?
HARP was honking, and we can correlate those. We have the graphs, the data graphs, from those on our website.
That's on your website also.
.com.
Okay, that's right. You've really got to see this, folks. Now,
it's correlated science. That's what this is. We're following the breadcrumbs. To go, Dorothy, the yellow brick road.
With you all the way. All right. So first, everybody, take a look at the weather radar. Look for the ring that forms around the perfectly circular ring in the center shot as it goes by. Find that. That's directly over Turret Mountain. Impossibly coincidental. Then, if you wish, look at the related HARP information, the graphs that he's got there. You understand what we're saying to you, don't you? That we believe that HARP did what happened over Turret Mountain. That's where we're going.
Remember a few weeks ago that Tom Beard and I did a show?
Yep.
And Tom discussed with you the fact that the Russians have been controlling weather for decades. And we discussed the fact that in the summer you were very intrigued with Singapore and how they wanted to hire the Russians to put out the fires and control weather over the Southeast Asia.
Yeah, Malaysia. They offered Malaysia the opportunity to have a cyclone.
Yep. Anyway,
first one free of charge. They
what
offer.
We seem to be seeing in this data is evidence of weather control, courtesy of your friends and mine to the U.S. government, known as HARP. For what purpose? The purpose seems to be pretty clear. To keep everybody miles away from Turret Mountain on the night of the 6th and the early pre-dawn hours of the 7th.
Well, it worked because I remember the night, several days previous, you mentioned, look, it's near Route 17. Well, not only did they have a blinding snowstorm that somehow or another was driving horizontally without wind. That's true, folks. The snow, they say, was driving horizontally without apparent wind. Now, how does that happen?
That's explained in the physics of this pulse, which we'll get to. Anyway, you put it all together, and it says that somebody didn't want a lot of people near that site, and they arranged for, to quote Secretary Cullen, evil weather.
Well, they closed Route 17. It was closed.
Yes, and the B-line, and unless you had a four-wheel and could get up there, and we're going to have a friend of mine come on shortly who was an eyewitness to history here.
Okay, well, that's the other part of what blew me away. Let me read this. Let me read this very quickly. Art, the following email was sent to me this morning by Frances Barwood, bless her heart. Carrie Major, referenced in her email, is well known to both her and me. This is from Richard, who he is a kind of a techie type who videotaped the Barwood dinner in July for her campaign. Anyway, according to his eyewitness testimony, in a four-wheel vehicle on the top of Turret Peak Sunday afternoon / evening, during the height of the weird snowstorm, during the key time these strange electromagnetic pulses were being picked up 2,000 miles away by Charlie Pyler's equipment, and the Sky Harbor radar was painting anomalous rings in the snow centered precisely on Turret Peak, Carrie visually saw, get this folks, clear blue sky, no snow, directly above the mountain in a perfect circle. Bless his heart. We've got him on the telephone, and now I understand tonight there's even a bigger surprise because he didn't go up there unarmed. He went up there with a camera.
Many cameras.
Many cameras?
Yes. We have video. In fact, we're going to stick it at the end of the Phoenix video, which is coming out eventually, folks. You have to kind of wait for this big finish.
That's unbelievable. And so, in a moment, or well, you know, when we come back from the bottom of the hour, we're going to put Terry Major on the air and let him tell you. I mean, I wonder, for example, how did this guy make it to the top of Turret Peak, which is what, 5,000 some odd feet?
It's a little over 5,500 feet, I believe.
All right, so the weather would have been, the ceiling of that weather would have been far above 5,500 feet, correct?
Yep.
Earlier today I had somebody say, well, maybe Turret Mountain was above the weather. No, it wasn't. And he's the man who stood there. We're going to find out how he got there, why he went there, apparently on the strength of what you said, Richard, was going to happen or that something might happen.
Well, we had a lot of folks, and I want to give some credit to people. There's you know, a whole bunch of people. You know, Mike I mentioned before, Robert Ghostwolf, Francis, Michael, her husband, my friend Dirk Van Dyke, John, many people, and Terry, got in their vehicles and got cameras and electromagnetic gear and other things to basically camp out to see what was going to go down. It's called science. It's called field reports.
All right, good. Hold it right there, Richard. And when we come back, indeed, you will hear from Terry Major, who made it to the very peak of Turret Mountain, thank God, with cameras in hand. Now are you beginning to see why I'm slightly blown away? See it all at www.enterprisemission.com.
If you have a fax for Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. Send it to him at area code 702-727-8499. 702-727-8499. Please limit your faxes to one or two pages. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Now, here again is Art.
That would be me. Good morning, everybody. Again, don't take my word for this, nor Richard's. Go up to his site, which is www.enterprisemission.com. Click on the second item. Look at the Phoenix weather radar. The circle you see in the center of GIF as it moves through is that precise ring, an impossible ring that forms suddenly around Turret Mountain. There is no question about it. Richard called this days, even weeks ahead of time, but specifically with regard to Turret Peak, days ahead of time. That's impossible. Absolutely impossible. In a moment, you will hear from a man who went to Turret Mountain in a four-wheeled vehicle, got to the top, and, bless his heart, took cameras with him. I think, as Richard is saying, we are in the middle of observing, proving weather manipulation. Check it out for yourself. Remember how 557-4627. You've got nothing to lose but the fat. Well, all right, here we go. Once again, Richard C. Hoagland.
Let me make a couple of points, Art.
Yes.
This ring is half the width of the state of Arizona.
Yeah.
It's 100 miles across. Now, have you ever seen the close-ups of the Vietnam carpet bombing?
Yes, I'm afraid I have.
Looking straight down.
Yes.
You can actually see the shock waves from the explosions.
That's correct.
The difference here is that if this was a shock wave due to some physical explosion, a thermonuclear blast, there wouldn't be anything left in the center of Arizona. So what we have is a signature in the atmosphere, ordered snowflakes painted by radar, that somehow has been frozen in place for a few minutes by some other set of forces.
No, I'm with you.
I'm hoping the audience is with us, because the magnitude of this implies control of forces,
yep.
Hyperdimensional technology on a scale that up until tonight you didn't believe was possible.
Well, you're right. Now, let's go to actually somebody who was on Turret Mountain. Bless his heart. Here he is, Terry Major. Terry, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you.
You're going to have to speak up good and loud for us, Terry.
All right.
Get right into that phone. Touch the phone. So that's how you do it. Why did you go to Turret Mountain on that day?
Actually, it was because of what Richard had said, and I'd been talking to Francis Barwood. And we just thought there were two guys that I work with, Mike Chappett and Fernando De Paz, and they decided it was a good thing to do on a Sunday afternoon. So Mike likes to use his four-wheel drive vehicle to travel the back roads of Arizona. And we decided we'd just go up and take a look.
Is there a road that goes to the top of Turret Mountain, or do you have to get off-road and somehow make your way to the top? I don't know anything about Turret Mountain.
Okay, the... Actually, as you're driving down, it's the forest route 269. We get off. We took Interstate 17 north, got off on exit 159, which led to a road 269 that took us inland, and we kept climbing, of course, all this time. It's a pretty bad road. When we got way back, there's another road 44, which was very bad. And we had to stop the vehicle and clear the snow in order to get through.
Okay, we heard
climbing constantly.
Terry, we heard reports that the snow, for some odd reason, was not falling altogether. In other words, there wasn't a lot of wind. It wasn't falling straight down. It was going virtually sideways. A number of observers said that. Did you see that?
Yes, at times we did, and on the interstate we did. It depended on where we were. Of course, as we got closer to Turret Peak, there was less snow.
Right.
And as we approached the area, I had joked with the boys, it seemed like we were just enveloped in fog and everything and snow the whole time. And I said, I'll bet when we get to Turret Peak, it's clear sky above. and indeed it was.
Now, you took photographs.
We took photos. I've been going through them, trying to get them up on my little website, and I haven't got them all up yet. I've been working with Snappy tonight, trying to get some of the video cut into some snapshots.
We have some from your partner. We have one shot in the Enterprise website showing, you know, at the top around 4:30.
Right.
Beautiful, clear, with some wispy hanging stuff, but it basically looks pretty amazing.
Right. I'm not sure that that's turret peak. I've got to go back through the photos and pick out which ones are which.
Okay.
But they're all those peaks are all in the general area.
Okay. Where is that photograph on your site, Richard?
Just scroll down in the Smoking Gun and Evil Weather post, which is the first one under the banner for the Caesar's Palace thing on Saturday.
Right.
And you click on that, and it takes you right. Just scroll down, read the thing, scroll down, and you'll find in a gray frame this beautiful picture of blue skies over Turret Peak.
While
middle of a snowstorm.
This was not just any snowstorm. When you look at the weather radar, folks, you will see patches of red, which indicate tremendously heavy activity going on. This was just sweeping all across central Arizona, except for one place, Turret Peak. Just absolutely, completely, utterly impossible.
And Gary, why don't you tell everybody what you met up there? Or who you met?
Okay. Well, we didn't know who. We kind of expected we'd find. We didn't know what we'd find. That's why we went, I guess. But we saw some people coming down and coming on the road. But when we got onto 44, there was no one on 44 at all until we met a truck coming down the mountain. And there were two men in the truck, and it'd be nice if one of them was listening and could call in.
Yeah.
They had two containers in the back of the truck that looked like cages.
What?
And I don't know what they were. We wish we'd taken some photos of that truck. It turns out that that truck had been on the one road that goes up to Turret Peak. It turns off at a windmill. If you have a good map of Arizona, it'll show the windmill. And that's at a very high elevation, and that windmill pumps water for the cattle. And we had to go through a cattle fence in order to get up in that area.
Right.
But we did not take that final little stretch to go to Turret Peak. We were right at the base of, you know, there wasn't much height left to go to the top. And it was getting late and getting dark. We were afraid we weren't going to get out of there before dark.
If you stuck around another couple, 3 hours, you would have seen the main event.
Probably would have, yes.
Well, here I am trying to get into your website, Richard. I'm not going to make it. It's swamped right now.
Okay.
So,
let me talk a little bit about what we think we're seeing. Remember, our model on Friday night, we'd gotten all these various hints and information and leaks, and you put them all together and you make a big map. And, you know, you know how terminal guidance in a guided missile works, Art. You know, you have cameras or you have infrared sensors. And when the missile gets close to the target, it twists and turns and follows the prey until it reaches home, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, this investigation is very similar. You know, we don't sit on anything. We try to move with the moving target to try to get to where the data is amid all the disinformation. And I'm really not kidding. There's a lot of nonsense out there, and a lot of people are taking pot shots and putting out false stuff.
Oh, I know.
To keep us from finding the truth.
I know.
The truth is out there, but you got to wade through an awful lot of ponies to get to it. Anyway, so on Friday, we'd had this leak that said it's not just coming in from space, it's not a signal from EQPEG, but think about tunneling. And we connected the dots to this incredible year-and-a-half standoff by the ATF in New River and Carl Byers' thing and all that. And I made a statement that what I thought was going on is that the feds had dug some tunnels under Phoenix, under those mountains, looking for something from the prior cycle, maybe going back to the dates of Sidonia, 300,000 years ago. Well, that turned up over the weekend, all kinds of info, including a whole bunch of 19.5-foot-wide tunnels dug under central Arizona by the Bureau of Reclamation. We have now found that the only 19.5-wide tunnels are in Arizona, nowhere else. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
So one of those appears to go under Turret Peak, and we said there may be something, a time capsule, a gadget, a device, a machine, something left over from the prior cycle that they were going to ceremonially turn on. Well, when I looked at this radar and put all the dots together, whatever was turned on down there emitted a pulse that organized the snow, the hexagonal crystalline pattern of the snow, which is how you get this ring,
yeah,
and froze it in an incident time that allowed the Sky Harbor radar to paint it from the side, from 100 and some miles away, as this beautiful ring, half the width of the state, centered exactly over Turret Peak.
Terry,
it can't happen.
Terry, when you were standing up there, I mean, I take it you have now seen the weather photographs that Richard's got posted, right?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so you know what was going on all around you. I mean, all around you. And it was heavy.
Right.
Really, really heavy.
Right.
Is there any way in the world, I mean, you're looking out, could you actually see the circle around you?
Well, the one circle that I saw was when we first entered the area, getting very close to the peak, and that's when it was open and clear sky. And that's the only time in the day that it was clear. As we got to the windmill and went beyond the windmill, it got heavier again, and we were afraid it was going to get dark.
Yeah, but when you were in this this one clear area, could you actually see above you a circle?
Yes, it was. I made a comment on how it was a nice round hole of blue sky. It just seemed odd in the clouds.
It's odd, Jerry.
It's like the eye of a hurricane, a well-organized eye of a hurricane. That's what I think it's like.
Yes.
Now, the reason that the stuff was going horizontal, remember, these were pulses, so it wasn't constant. It was on, off, on, off, and the radar happened to catch only one. If we had more continuous radar, we'd get more of these, because it was going on for a long time prior to the big event, which occurred later that night, later that evening, around 7:30 local Phoenix time, is because the snowflakes, being crystalline, six-sided, and made of water, are particularly susceptible to these hyperdimensional forces that are set up by these generators, these scalar generators that Tom Bearden talks about, and would be pushed, as opposed to the air around them, sideways away from the center of the force.
All right, Richard, you have correlating data showing activity at HARP at this very time. What does that actually show?
Well, it shows pulses. It shows that they're very active, that system up there is 62 degrees north latitude, just outside Anchorage, okay, is very active in this time frame. We have that data, those data sets. That,
I think it's a place called Gakona or something like
that's
that.
That's right, just outside to the northwest of Anchorage, I believe, northeast of Anchorage. It was very active. But what I think we're seeing in terms of the specifics of the ring, of the pulse, of the EMP that Charlie Pyler saw, is something under Turret Mountain itself. Because that kind of precision, I mean, the ring is constant width. It's got radial bands pointing back toward the center.
Yes.
Tom Bearden has on our site a description, which was posted over on another website, which I borrowed, that he put on an email to a whole bunch of us this week, describing how this physics of weather control works and what you're supposed to look for. And there was an email that I forwarded to you from some folks in Nevada who saw radial-type clouds during the same weekend, almost as if this was part of a larger system of tests of this kind of technology. So we're looking at correlations. Now, the big event, the one this was all setting us up for, apparently occurred at about 2:37 Greenwich time, which is about 7:37 Arizona time. And that was a real EMP that went off scale. We don't have the radar to cover that one. We can't seem to find the right sequence yet. I haven't done a lot of digging. I mean, I haven't had time to do a lot of digging, but I will keep digging. And maybe we'll find it, maybe we won't. Because the snow was kind of like dye in the water.
Sure.
If it hadn't been snowing, Art, we wouldn't have been able to do the correlation.
You're correct.
And it's almost like the unintended consequences.
Yeah, but on the other hand, if you were doing an experiment, the snow would be the ideal way for you to prove what you were
absolutely
doing.
Absolutely. If you wanted to know that you had done it and effectively carried it out.
Yes, absolutely.
But I think that the storm, which was HARP manufactured, is separate from the pulse and the ring, which was an artifact of the events, of the whatever's under there in those tunnels. They turned it on or were testing it, getting ready for the big event. The big event occurred, and you can see that on our website. Just go and explore around on the updates of the landing.
You can't get in right now, folks. It's
well,
swamped.
You will.
Just wait.
Anyway, it's there, and it's a beautiful pulse at 2:37 Greenwich time, I've had Michael now look at our correlations. Remember, we're monitoring a ceremony, a redshift ceremony of stellar alignments of these key constellations all over the solar system at various, quote, temples that NASA has set up.
Well, here's where you and I'm not exactly sure about all of this, Richard, but what I am sure of...
Just look at the correlations.
What I am sure of is the incidents that did occur that are impossibly coincidental.
The whole pattern cannot be coincidence. You can't take a part of the pattern out and then reject the rest of it.
I'm not rejecting it. I'm simply saying I have assimilated as totally impossible what we just documented for the audience, in which they can go see for themselves. Now, to connect the rest of the dots, your phrase,
yes,
you're going to have to do the rest of the reading and decide for yourself.
That's correct.
But as much as I've seen, I've got to say, impossible, folks, impossible.
Now, remember, back when Dorr was doing his thing and you and I were discussing, I went on the air one night and I told you that we had sources that were calling and leaving voicemail after I would do the show for, like, I guess we did updates for one whole week or something.
Right, that's right.
And I told you that night that it was Turret Mountain.
Yep.
And I said, don't tell anybody. I want to test them. I don't want to spook them. I want to force them out of the woodwork.
Yep.
So right up until the very end, on Friday night, we didn't reveal it was Turret Mountain, but you knew for a month and a half.
Yes.
That's why you're wowed.
Well, I know, but even you, Richard, told the audience well ahead of time the precise location where it was going to occur, Turret Mountain.
But I have all kinds of witnesses that we knew this place.
Oh, absolutely.
A month and a half ago.
There's no question about this. Listen, we've got the hour's coming to an end, and we've got Terry on the line. Terry, when do you think you will finish with the photographs, and when do you think you'll get... You did take a picture, I take it, of that one beautifully clear ring, didn't you?
Well, I don't know how good the photos are in that area, and I haven't checked them all yet. So I'm not sure. Not sure I have it.
All right. Well,
cross our fingers, Terry.
Yeah. If
right,
you have
not
it,
what I was looking for when I went up there.
Sure. If you have it, Terry, when would it be posted?
I should have all the photos done within the next 2 days.
All right. Well, listen.
In the evening after work, so it'll take a little time. And the other Mike Chaput's camera. I've got to ask him tomorrow how soon he'll have his film for me so I can get his scanned.
All right. I certainly appreciate it. It'll be up on the Enterprise site, I presume, the moment.
Oh, yes, we'll link to it.
All right, you'll link to it. All right, Terry, thank you so much for coming on the air.
Yes, well, thank you. It was nice talking to you.
Good
Thanks,
night.
Terry.
That's Terry Major, folks, who was there on the spot at the time. And you just heard the eyewitness testimony. With a little bit of luck, we'll get the photographs up. You've already got one up, Richard?
Yeah, from one of the guys that was in the truck with him, which is a view overlooking Turret Peak. I think it's Turret Peak. It's very close. And shows the clearness, and it shows the clouds wispy in the distance, but it's blue sky up above.
No.
If you were standing there, remember
I,
one...
I buy it, but I don't buy it as a coincidental occurrence.
It's not coincidental, which, of course, we've got to take it the next step.
No.
Art, what's going on? This is non-trivial. While we're, you know, crucifying a president in Washington, what a heck of a beautiful diversion. There's major stuff going on in the middle of the state of Arizona that does not belong in any physics you and I understand, that we have paid for, that we need to understand, because it's part of a plan put together by some people who have some very strange ideas and who are celebrating ceremonies with billions of dollars of our tax dollars in ways that no one can comprehend. That when I describe it or try to describe it, people turn off and say, oh, that can't be going on. Take a look at the data. Connect the dots.
Well,
what's ironic is...
You know me. I'm always a straight shooter with you, Richard.
Absolutely.
And
I like the fact that you've come at me and forced me to be rigorous and to prove it, and we've made, I think, some progress here.
Well, so do I. So I would ask everybody to go take a look for themselves, make up their own minds. The presentation of evidence sequentially is impossible to ignore. Now, whether the rest of the dots can be connected or not, I'll leave that up to the readers. And I'm sure once they've seen this much, Richard, they're going to go on and read about what you think happened and why it happened.
And we have more. The Endeavour mission putting ISIS, the first space station, together upstairs is not over.
Right.
Mike and I are posting updates almost on an hourly basis. There are more dots. When this pulse let loose, the configurations of things over Cydonia, over the moon, over other parts of Mars, over the Baikonur station, over the Cape Canaveral, over Phoenix, at 33 and 19.5 absolutely boggles the percentages, as someone once said. Something remarkable is occurring under our noses, and no one's paying attention except just a few of us.
Well, we're here, I'm here, and we will continue to keep everybody updated. Richard, for all you have done, thank you, and thank you for being here tonight once again.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned is right. Good night, Richard.
Good night, Owen.
And if you're on the way back to New Mexico, have a safe trip.
Thank you.
All right. That's it, folks. That's Richard C. Hoagland, who's up in the state of Washington, about to make his way back home to New Mexico. If you want to see it for yourself, www.enterprisemission.com is the place. Look very carefully. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.